All right. Okay, good morning. Thanks. Thanks for the invitation, Uwe, Stefan, and Dirk, and the foundation to organize this event. It's really already a fantastic morning with the keynote of Dominique. And I'm very glad that Dominique took the floor first because my talk will be on smart specialization policy. And I put a subtitle to that, anything goes, question mark. So it will be really about that and how we can think about how to implement and how to design smart specialization policy, because I think we're all struggling with this kind of fundamental question. Well, as you can see, I've quite a lot of things to say, but probably I will only focus attention on the two first points because I don't think I have time to deal with the other ones. But what I would really like to do, because this session is really on innovation policy, and let's be honest, smart specialization policies has been one of the major features of innovation policy implemented at the regional scale at the European Union. There are billions of euros invested in that. So it's really a nice example of how regional innovation policy has been implemented at the European scale, at a wide level. And the second argument I would like to make, or my main argument I would like to make, is, okay, how can we really design smart specialization policy? To what extent can we depart from history, from the past? To what extent, because to me, smart specialization is about developing new specializations in regions, making crossovers between other existing activities that are already available at the regional level. I mean, I think that was already mentioned also in the talk by Dominique. And the big question is, and this is echoed now and then in the literature, is that we have to do radical change, right? We have to make deep transitions or transformative change or whatever it is called, and I'm quite skeptical about that all. So, and I really would like to outline a number of policy options that we might have and present a number of pros and cons of different type of policies. Policies, when we stay very close to existing activities in the region and try to diversify from there. And I think that comes quite close to the principle of smart specialization policy. And to what extent do we now and then have to depart radically from the past? And if so, how? Under what conditions? Can we say more than just say we have to do it completely different? Are there any guidelines that we can incorporate in regional innovation policy to make that happen? I think it's quite a crucial question that we have to think more carefully about. All right. Well, I can go strictly through this. As you know, smart specialization policy is part of European regional innovation policy. To me, it's a very simple objective. I can say a lot more about that, but let's be quite simple. Smart specialization is about developing new economic activities in regions. It's and not strengthening existing specialization in regions, right? So it's really to make the region move in new directions. That is what smart specialization policy should be about, according to me. Well, there are some features of a smart specialization policy. And you're all familiar with that. One of the main points of departures is that policy should target potential new activities based on regional capabilities rather than just being going for the activities that are mentioned now and then in the literature, right? We have now the whole literature on Industry 4.0. We are now subject to a so-called fourth industrial revolution. And now all regions are thinking about, okay, how can we participate in that? How can we contribute to that? And should we pursue all kinds of policies? Without thinking about whether they have capacities, whether they have potentials to do so. So again, you see that happening again and again and again, that sometimes in policy circles, in policy domains, they go for particular technologies or industries, sometimes creative industries or nanotech or biotech or industry 4.0, things like that, or green technologies, without really thinking carefully about to what extent countries or regions really have the capabilities to move into that. And that should be, I think, a more fundamental question that we should take into account. And I think smart specialization policy can indeed contribute to that debate. As we know, because it is no one-size-fits-all policy, right, it's a bottom-up strategy taking into account the potentials of regions to diversify. And now I can't read the last line here. But okay, so no duplication of policy. Apparently, it's mentioned smart specialization policy, because you target region-specific context, it cannot, by definition, it cannot be duplicated elsewhere, right? So each region has to look at what are its strengths, what are the weaknesses, what are the potentials, and then you will not have duplication of policy, and you can avoid it. Okay. But of course, this makes that we have to develop a kind of understanding of how regions diversify over time. And we have many people have done numbers of studies actually showing that new activities do not start from scratch. Local capabilities like knowledge, skills, networks, institutions, conditions, which new activities will be feasible to develop in a region. So the capabilities that are around at the regional scale not provide only opportunities, but they set also limits to what can be achieved in this diversification process. You cannot just diversify in any direction, even if you want to, and even if policymakers aim for those type of objectives, there are limits to that diversification process. So what comes out of many studies is that regions are more likely to diversify into new activities related to existing activities in regions, because that provides all kinds of resources and assets on which those new activities can build and develop. And we have phrased that in the notions of related and unrelated diversification. Just let me explain a bit what these notions really are about. Now I have to, okay. Here you have a typical example of a region that is doing related diversification. Because you first specialized in motorbikes, then you diversify into car making, then you diversify in trucks. Of course, what you can understand is that all those industries more or less rely on the similar capabilities, engineering capabilities in this respect. So the way they diversify is related to the existing activities that are already present in the region. You build more or less on the same capabilities and diversify into that. And this is a typical example of related diversification. Well, here you have an example of unrelated diversification. You first specialized in textiles, then you move into aircrafts, and then you move into pharmaceuticals. Well, if you can understand, each time you diversify, you have to transform your capabilities completely. You have to bring in new knowledge, new skills, new institutions, etc., etc. So this is a typical example of unrelated diversification. And of course, what we observe in reality is that related diversification is the rule, and unrelated diversification is the exception. It happens now and then, but related diversification is the rule. So we have done a paper with Cesar Hidalgo, many others, authors, that more or less summarize that literature. And related diversification is relevant at whatever spatial scale. It's true at the national scale, it's true at the subnational scale, it's true at the city level, it's true at the municipality level, and it's even true at the zip code level, right? So even at the zip code, you find related diversification and not unrelated diversification. So that is a literature that is has done a lot of progress, I think, in the last couple of years. Okay, now about policy. What should we do now? So this is let's say, studies that we have done. As I said, we need to build an understanding of how regions diversify, because is smart specialization policy is about developing new economic activities. Should we go for related diversification, or should we enhance unrelated diversification, or maybe a combination of the two? And my guess is, and this is still thinking a bit out loud, is that you need to have a combination of both, because it depends on the local context. And I try to make that argument. So let's first go through those different type of policy options. To me, there are three types. Policy focus on related diversification, policy focus on unrelated diversification, and a combination of both. First, policy focused on related diversification. This is really about identifying opportunities for new activities in regions based on relatedness with existing local activities. So all what you have to do is to find complementarities between activities, and you can target new economic activities in a region by looking to what extent there are relevant capabilities around at the regional scales on which you can build as a policymaker. So you do not start from scratch. And this, I think, comes pretty close to the current philosophy behind smart specialization policy. So what you have to do is you have to measure potential of regions to diversify. And you can do that through the entrepreneurial discovery process. So you can talk with local stakeholders, and they can mention that. I mean, it's a bit the type of approach that Dominique presented this morning. But you can also work with big data. What we do is, and for example, then we measure the potentials of regions, European regions, to diversify. And we call that average relatedness of European regions, kind of measure in which you say, okay, and here we work with patent data, and we say, okay, what type of technologies are already present in the regions? And which technologies are still missing in the region? So the ones that are still missing are potential targets for smart specialization policy to develop. And if there is a big gap between the existing activities and the missing technologies in a region in terms of relatedness, the average relatedness will be low. So you don't have that much potential to diversify if everything goes through the road of related diversification. So as you can see, there are, the map is not that interesting. Of course, you can discuss about it, but just to see, okay, if you pursue a policy based on related diversification, you have to you can rely on this type of maps and see, okay, in which technologies do regions have a potential given the type of technologies that are already present in the region, and this is a type of measure to approach that. Yes. Then what you also want to do is not only to diversify in new economic activities, but you also want to diversify in economic activities that will bring you high economic returns, because you might diversify also in very low value-added activities, but maybe that is not the way to go forward. So, and this has been mentioned by many others, saying that we have to develop new complex activities in order to increase our productivity, the value added of our economies. But we can only do that, and I think there are a few papers now that show that you can only do that when you diversify in related activities, because that will bring a high potential for economic benefits. And we have developed a kind of policy framework for that. Okay, now I have to. Here you see a degree of relatedness going from light low to high. Here the degree of complexity going from low to high. And you can map for each region the missing technologies. So technologies that might be a potential target for smart specialization policy. And you can show them in this particular figure. So if you have many missing technologies in a particular region that show a high degree of relatedness with existing activities in the region, you might have a high potential to develop those, so low risk. And when those are also high complex activities, so they might bring potential high economic benefits, Maybe that is the way to go forward in smart specialization policy based on related diversification. Low risk, high benefits, right? It is almost a kind of commercial, right? So a low risk, high benefits, let's go for it. So if you have these type of missing activities that indeed are in that quadrant of this figure, you can actually target those and pursue smart specialization policy based on related activities. But of course, when you only have, for example, meaning missing activities over here, it means they have a low degree of relatedness with existing activities in the region, which means high risk to develop. Yeah, okay, still high benefits, but maybe that's not the way to go forward, at least when you incorporate related diversification as your point of departure for smart specialization policy. And this is, of course, very, very attractive for many policymakers, right? Industry 4.0, so green technologies, nanotechnology, right? They show themselves as the most promising ones for the near future. So let's go for this. Well, if you pursue a policy based on related diversification, don't do it. It's too risky. And even in the paper that we did, we dubbed those as casino policy because it is just a random thing. All right. I just have to move on a bit. So this policy based on related diversification is about taking away bottlenecks that might impede this process of related diversification in region. Well, you can be entrepreneurship policy, education, research policy, bringing up new regulations. And this policy is more likely to be effective because you can actually build on existing local capabilities. Okay. Well, the critique on related diversification policy is that, well, related diversification will happen anyhow. We observe that in the data, so why bother? Why should we pursue any policy there? Second is, there might be a risk of lock-in, because if you do it through the related trajectory, it might be the case that your region becomes much more specialized over time, because the activities that you add to your existing economy are very much related to what you already do. And also activities that will exit at some point of time are unrelated to existing activities, so that makes even your region even more specialized. So why would you pursue a policy based on related diversification? So that could be a critique. And it might not be a serious option for many regions that are especially trapped in low complex activities. And this is the case when opportunities in related diversifications are only in low complex activities. And we are working now on a few papers for European regions and US regions and how they diversify. And what we can actually see is that old industrial regions like Detroit, they have potentials to diversify, but only in low complex technologies. They only have capabilities where they can only move into low complex activities. So if they want to move into higher complex activities, they have to make a jump at some point of time. And if you know that, then this is not a realistic policy to pursue going through related diversification. Okay. Well, then the policy focused on unrelated diversification. Well, there's a lot to say in favor of that because we can try to induce radical change because, as I said, there's a risk of potential lock-in related to related diversification, so there's need for radical change. Unrelated diversification might give a small economic bonus for countries. Actually, we did a paper on that. Indeed, we saw for middle-income countries that indeed they have to make a jump, and if they do so, they have an additional economic bonus. Unrelated diversifications only happen now and then, so apparently it's difficult and it's complex to do in practice. So maybe we should indeed intervene as policymakers because, as I said, unrelated diversification requires completely new capabilities. And that will not come into being automatically. So you really have to make an effort. You have to really pursue collective action, and policymakers can be part of that. Okay, but you can. So there are a few cons, there are a few pros for unrelated diversification, but you can also have a critique on unrelated diversification policy. And I think that is also what smart specialization policy was supposed to avoid. The high risk of policy failures, right? Because you cannot build on existing capabilities. So what else is there to do? So it's not uncommon that this policy might fail. You might also develop cathedrals in the desert, because if you do it unrelated to what you already have, you might be successful at the initial states, but still it remains a cathedral in the desert. There's no supportive environment around it that can really develop it also in the years to come. So it might not be sustainable in the long run. And there is a risk of duplications, because if everybody is going for unrelated diversification, so you really don't have to take into account the capabilities that you already have, you might end up of many countries and regions going for the same again. So there will be duplication. And this is not what we want to promote. And as I said before, related diversification might have a higher economic impact when diversification is in complex activities. So maybe it's not great to go forward. So what do we have now? So we have two types of policies, one concentrating on related diversification, one concentrating on unrelated diversification. But maybe the question is, and what I try to make my point is, that there are pros and cons attached to each of those two types of policies. So what should we do? Well, maybe it's not a question of either or, but it depends on the type of local context in which this type of policy is pursued. And I just made a stylized track of three types of regions, major urban regions, specialized old industrial regions, and peripheral regions, and see, okay, to what extent we can still make a policy that might combine both of those policy approaches. To me, related diversification policy seems to be preferable because of the many drawbacks of unrelated diversification, especially in the case of major urban regions, because they have many opportunities to diversify in related activities and also make their economy more complex. This is what we observe in the data. When looking at European regions, US regions for the last 70 or 80 years, it's really about that. Second, for specialized old industrial regions, we are not sure. When related diversification provides opportunities to break out of lock-in and move in more complex activities, it's fine. Then you can pursue this related diversification policy. But what we observe for many specialized old industrial regions is that we have to move into new directions in order to make their economy more complex. That is what we observe in the data. And for peripheral regions, where related diversification provides opportunities to develop new economic activities, it's true for many peripheral regions. They can really move. They might stay in low complex activities, but that is not so much an issue in those type of regions. So they might still develop new economic activities, and that would already make a difference in those type of regions. However, policy on unrelated diversification should be considered in case of major and urban regions, because what we observe is that if you want to pursue unrelated diversification, then a number of components in a region are pretty crucial in order to enable that process. For example, unrelated variety is a basic ingredient. Another is a well-developed research and innovation infrastructure. I mean, this has been researched and examined empirically. And those major urban regions provide this type of environment. So if you want to pursue radical change, maybe major urban regions might be the engines to do so. Specialized old industrial regions, I already mentioned that before, they are in a trap of so-called low complex activities. So in order to move out of that low complexity trap, they have to make a jump and move into more unrelated directions in order to enable them. And last, for peripheral regions, also they might end up in a trap of low complexity. And then indeed what we observe in the data is that they have to move and make a step and make a jump at some point of time. And that could be an option. So I know I'm running out of time. And I had many more to say, but that doesn't matter. Okay, I thank you for your attention.